Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Slow Conversations with Fields and Ferns. We are your hosts, Alicia and Ancilla, and together we run the sustainable fashion brand Fields and Ferns here in London. In an attempt to spread environmental positivity and, in a way, selfishly learn more about the ways in which we can practice sustainable living, we invite inspiring individuals from all over the world to talk to us who implement sustainability into their businesses to leverage change and make a positive impact on the environment. This week, we are interviewing the lovely Sasha Bushby, a smart and savvy businesswoman who owns the sustainable jewelry brand, which she named Sasha B. The jewelry is absolutely beautiful, consisting of tassel and beaded earrings, beaded bracelets and necklaces, and she even sells embroidered tote bags and upcycled cotton face pads. She's based here in the UK, and you can find her stuff on her website, sashab.com. So without further ado, Sasha B, welcome to the podcast. So if you could just tell us a bit about yourself, where you're located, and what your journey has been in starting this business.
Sure. So my name's Sasha, and I'm currently living in Scotland, which is where my family's from. However, I'm looking to move down to London, but everything's been a little bit chaotic with COVID, so it's coming soon, hopefully. But I have my own business called Sasha B, and I make sustainable jewellery, so earrings, bracelets, and necklaces. And I also do a few other things like tote bags, and I'm starting to do reusable face pads as well. I started a couple years ago just on the side at university, and I've really been trying to make sure that everything I do is really sustainable and also really unique, which is difficult, but I'm really, really passionate about it.
So tell us a little bit about how you developed that passion for sustainability. Where did it start?
Sure. So I think that it was possibly before university. I was doing a gap year and I watched the documentary, The True Cost, which is literally everyone's starting point for sustainability, I find. And I watched this and I realized the massive impact that fast fashion had on the people and the planet. And this really bothered me. It was something that once I became aware of, I just couldn't get that out of my mind. And I am somebody who loves shopping. I love getting new clothes. I've always loved charity shopping as well when I was younger. I just love getting new things and really unique things too. So when I watched this documentary and saw the massive impact, the social cost and the environmental cost, I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that this is the cost of our clothes. It's not just a $3 t-shirt. I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And so when I started Sasha B, I was like, well, it's my responsibility, no matter how small my business is. It is my responsibility to make sure that what I'm doing has a positive impact on the planet and the people as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think a lot of misconception about being sustainable is whether what they're doing, if it's something that's small, if they're not completely fully living a 100% sustainable lifestyle, which is really unrealistic, to be honest, that they're not making an impact whatsoever. But it really does start with the little things, and it is a lifelong journey. And I think people assume that if they don't go big, then might as well not, you know?
Yeah. I totally get that. I feel that so many people get a little bit threatened by it or a bit worried about it and then put off because they're not being completely zero waste or only buying organic clothes or something like that. And so therefore they just are like, no, it's not for me. But actually, I think that everyone doing a little bit, such a long way, and just not ignoring it and making sure that just thinking before you buy something, that's even just enough. Just having a think, do I really need this? Do I really like this? Could I get this somewhere else that's responsible? Just small steps. And then once you start and embark on your journey, you're so right in saying it's a journey, then you don't have to look back and you can just keep going and keep doing every tiny little bit and learning more and more. And then you'll look back in a few years' time, you're like, oh my God, I used to not find this easy. And now I do, you know?
Completely agree. And also there was this post going around, which really sparked to me because they were basically saying, if you refuse plastic but you still drink dairy, that's fine. You can't be perfect at everything, but don't let that stop you from
aiming for better.
Yeah. And also to just educate people as well to not judge people who are on their journey, no matter how small. Don't think it's pretentious, or don't think it's, you know, it shouldn't be a trend. It should just be a lifestyle and a choice to improve yourself. You know, it's not a trend. it shouldn't be. And I feel like it's now kind of coined as a trendy kind of snobbish thing as well sometimes, you know?
I really hate when people just call it a trend. No, we actually really care about this, you know? Like, we're not just greenwashing. This is a lifestyle and this is a choice done for good. Not just because it looks cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about how you developed your business and what's the concept behind it.
Yeah, sure. So I never really intended to have a business. It kind of just happened. And I love it now. But basically, again, when I was on my gap year, I made a couple pairs of earrings. And one of my friends borrowed them once when she was going on a night out. And she told me the next morning that everybody stopped her and were like, oh my God, where did you get that? Your earrings, they're amazing. And
she wow.
That was crazy. And she came back to me and she's like, you have to make more of these, please. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I could. And they were tassel earrings, and tassels was such a trend at the time. And so I bought some tassels and some hooks and put them together. And then I looked at that and I was like, oh my God, this looks really cheap. Can I make my own tassels? Is that possible? And being a student, I was like, okay, I'm going to go down to the charity shop and see if there's any threads. And I literally got up a YouTube video on how to make tassels. My first ones were awful. I kid you not, they were so bad. And like a few tassels in, they were starting to look quite good. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of cute. And so two of my flatmates are absolutely, well, they're all gorgeous, but two of them were particularly gorgeous. And I was like, guys, do you mind just doing a little photo shoot in the kitchen with me? Because it's got a nice white wall. And so we set up an Instagram account and I took some photos of my friends with the earrings on and was like, look, I'm making these. And sold them for literally like £5 a pair. And then all my friends are like, oh my God, yes. I don't know if they're just being supportive, but they all bought some. So I just kind of started from there. And once I'd made that step to get materials from the charity shop, I was like, oh gosh, I can do this sustainably. This is actually really important to me. And from then on, I've just made sure that everything I buy is really responsible. And I'd rather just not buy something if it's going to be cheap and disposable. I'd just do something else, you know? So that's kind of been my journey. It's been for the last 2.5 years now. And now I'm sitting next to so many earrings on stands, and I've done markets and I built my own website, and it's actually turned into a real business now. And some of my friends, they look back and they're like, I can't believe this was just like a few tassels in the kitchen. Now you have like a full website. You know, you're a businesswoman.
You really are. And what would you say has been the biggest challenge you faced when building this sustainable business?
I think price is something that I've spoken to a lot of small business owners, and this is something I find really difficult. I hate getting money off people, which is a little bit difficult when you run a business because you need the money. But I feel guilty about it. And I find it really difficult to value my time. And my mum's been so many times like, you need to up your prices. You spend so long making these. You really need to put your prices higher. But I'm like, oh, but you could buy the same thing cheaper in Primark for £2. Why should people be spending more? So I found that really difficult to actually just put my prices higher and be like, you're paying for this product because there's so many things that go into your business other than just making the products. There's actually sourcing your products and doing all your advertising, paying for your website. There's so many different things, because I do think now I do believe in my products and I think they're really gorgeous and really unique, but still a part of me is like, oh, but you could buy something that's like half as nice for like a quarter of the price. Maybe I should just make mine lower. But then another part of me is like, no, Sasha, believe in yourself. Keep your prices a bit higher. You need to be able to earn and believe in yourself. So yeah, that's something I've definitely struggled with.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think that, well, if you're getting, basically, if you're upcycling stuff and you're buying things that aren't new, and they have this assumption that they're worse quality and that they're cheaper. And that's just completely not true. Mm. You know?
Yeah, I think that most of my beads are not plastic. They're actually glass, so I've got some shell ones. Some of them are plastic, but they're all really good quality. And sometimes I'll be using things from my grandma's jewelry that she no longer wears, and they'll be solid gold and pearls, real pearls. That is definitely something that's that's very true. People have that concept.
Yeah. I think it's funny you say that because it makes you feel like you're not allowed to charge a certain price because it is secondhand. And people often forget that to be able to produce that product, it's not something that was, you know, like fast fashion copied of a runway and then just have a certain template and then mass produce it. Every single one of your pieces, every single one of a sustainable business usually is carefully thought through every single aspect. And that's knowledge from years and years of learning and sorting out and picking the right things. It's actually so much harder because you can't just go like, oh, I want this specific thing, so I'm just gonna buy it. You actually have to sort it and find the best quality and repurpose it, and that is valuable, I think.
Yeah, definitely. There's so, as you say, there's just so much more thought that goes into it, and every single piece is completely one of a kind, so it's not just mass produced and thoughtless.
Do you source your materials from anywhere else or?
So, well, right at the beginning, I only did tassels. I didn't do beads. And that all started because I looked in the sewing cupboard at my granny's house and she had so many different colored threads. So I had a few that I collected from the charity shop. And then I had this massive collection of different colors, literally every color you can imagine. And I was like, oh, wow, I have to use these in my business. This is going to be amazing. So I have that. And then also recently over lockdown, I started a scheme called Bead Cycle. So people can send me their old jewelry and I'll make it into new pieces. Sometimes people want their specific necklace, say it's broken, they'll be like, oh, can you make this into earrings for me? I'd like to have it back. And then sometimes people are just like, I've got so many beads from my childhood, I'd love to just send them to you. And it's really fun seeing what you can make out of old things. I think it's so much more creative, and I just love seeing somebody's bracelet that they deem as old and useless and making it into something new and exciting. I know that there was a girl who sent me this old charm bracelet, you know, with little shells and stuff on it. That
I was thinking about that as well.
And then I'll make it into this one-off earring and people go mad for it.
Yeah. So fun. Yeah, but that makes it super special and unique to you. And you're giving another story to this piece of material that you've forgotten. And then you're bringing it a whole new life, bringing it to your new adventures. I think that's just so much more meaningful, you know?
Yeah.
It gives the product that you're selling, it also has a past life. It has a story behind it. And I think a lot of customers are attracted to that idea.
Oh, definitely. I've had people before ask me, oh, can you tell me where my beads came from? So this girl sent me them and they were her grandma's or they were her little sister's and she didn't want them anymore. And they love to hear about the story of it. I think it's so special.
It's so special. I totally agree. And I guess for other brands that are trying to start these sort of upcycling initiatives, do you have any recommendations that you would give them? Because it can be a challenge we do upcycling with Fields and Ferns. The sourcing those materials we found to be a super hard challenge. Also, just the creative aspect of it is really challenging in that we constantly have to reinvent an old fabric into something new.
Yeah, definitely. It is much more difficult and you can't really plan ahead because if you don't really know what your materials are going to be. I've definitely found it amazing, your local community, seeing what is going on there. For example, in one of the villages near me, they have this incredible craft shop, which is all secondhand craft things, and they have everything you can ever imagine. And so I know that they have lots of fabrics in there and buttons and beads and picture frames, absolutely everything. So getting in touch with your local community and seeing what they have on offer, it's kind of like shopping mall, I guess, but everything there is like really unique and really wacky and weird, and it gets your like creative juices flowing and you can just be like, oh wow. I think that when you see the materials, that I know a lot of creative people, they'll get inspired by the touch of things and the way they look and what's in front of them, which I think is really, really cool. My advice would be kind of see what's out and see what's around you, and that actually maybe we have to just be a little bit wild and not pre-plan and see what's there and then see what you can make from it, rather than being like, okay, I really want to make this like pair of trousers and like having that rigid mindset, but actually just like loosening that up and being like, okay, I'm gonna see what I've got and then see what I can make from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that flexible mindset is so important. Mm-hmm. And what did you study in university?
Biology, criminology, and Spanish. So
yeah. Wow. So, you know, I think almost people who aren't necessarily from the fashion industry or haven't worked there or haven't really studied it rigorously, that you don't have that rigid mindset.
Yeah.
And it actually allows you to think outside the box, you know, and you don't need to unlearn anything. You can just learn along the way.
Yeah, definitely. I think just kind of trying and being open to failing and being open to trying new things, and also just reaching out with other creative people and not being scared and seeing everyone as competition, but actually just seeing everybody as a community and being like, hey, I saw that you did this, I'd love to do something similar, can you give me any advice on it? I think that the whole sustainable fashion network is really so open to communication and supporting each other, because really we're doing this because we all care.
And you can see that, actually. You can see and you can feel that. And that is really refreshing. If somebody is really doing it because they honestly, genuinely care, they're usually more than happy to help. I mean, you and I and Alicia, I mean, we're all here trying to figure this out together and try to support one another.
Definitely. Yeah. All learning together, and I feel like we're at the beginning-ish of our journey, is just trying to get somewhere all together, which is amazing.
So do you have any tips for people who are trying to consume sustainably and how you carry sustainability into your own everyday life?
So as I said, it's really, really important to me. It's definitely been a journey that I've started on over the last kind of 3 years, I'd say. So I started by phasing out cheap clothing, which is really difficult. And I really sympathize with anyone who is at this beginning step. So difficult. And actually just maybe taking the time to research where the alternatives are, because there is this kind of concept that sustainable means gross or yoga mom or something like that, and actually that's just not true. There's so many incredible small businesses which are making gorgeous products which are really young and trendy and things too. So I think just phasing out fast fashion, that's not even just a step, that's a whole process in itself. It's absolutely massive, but just doing it step by step. Maybe also something that I started to do was, instead of asking for fast fashion clothes for my birthday or my Christmas, I started asking for sustainable things instead. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I have so many different little snippets and tips and things. But recently, what I have absolutely loved doing is finding out what clothes really suit me, so that when I open my wardrobe, I love everything inside of it. So one of the things I've done for that is work out what colors suit me. You can do a color test. And so you type in what your features are. You have what color eyes you have, what color skin you have, and your hair and everything. And then it comes out with what colors suit you best. And it's a seasonal chart. And so my color is summer, which means I suit a lot of pinks and blues and greens and really light colors. And so I've gone through all of my clothes to make sure that everything works in my color palette. And so everything is working with my skin tone and my eyes to bring out your best features. I've really enjoyed doing that. And it has kind of allowed me to part with some things which I just don't really wear or that are too big or too small. And just making sure that you have your own curated wardrobe of absolutely everything that you love. Because sometimes people open their wardrobes and you're like, oh my God, I have nothing to wear, even though I have 5 billion pieces of clothing in here. I think what I'm trying to say is just make sure that you love everything that you have. That's a massive step in becoming more sustainable.
I think a lot of what sustainability really is also learning about yourself and your needs and reflecting on that. I think that's a major part, because if you buy sustainable clothing, but then you always buy, that's the same as creating more waste. If you're just gonna then not use them or just let them pile up, you know.
Yeah.
So there's steps to it. I think it's important to look inside yourself and realize what you actually want, what you need, what makes you happy, what sparks joy,
and what sacrifices you're willing to make.
Yeah, definitely. understanding exactly what your needs are and what you absolutely love, it is a huge process because that's all tied into self-confidence and self-awareness. So it's not just an overnight change. It's just starting to become aware of you and your desires and everything like that.
There's no pressure for you to completely master it right on the get-go, decided one day I want to be sustainable and then expect that you're going to be completely sustainable the next day.
Yeah, definitely.
When you have that mindset of pressure, then I think you will grow much, much more.
Yeah, I think also when people are starting their journeys, you really have no idea the whole depth of it. And you don't know half of the stuff. I don't know half the stuff that I know now. I didn't know that 2 years ago. And it's all just about learning little things by little and then taking that on board and taking what you can manage on board and then making little changes and then maybe set yourself monthly goals or weekly goals. Be like, okay, in 2 months' time, I really want to make sure that I haven't bought something from a fast fashion brand. And just doing it day by day, taking that time to reflect that you actually haven't bought something from fast fashion in 2 months. That's really amazing. Give yourself a pat on the back and then try again.
No, I totally agree. And do you think, have you noticed a shift in consumer attitudes to sustainability?
I really have felt that people have been more open to having a conversation about it and being more open to what sustainability means and people asking me a bit more about why I do what I do rather than not wanting to have that conversation. I think that's the biggest change. I felt that people are just open to talk and open to understanding and being like, oh, Sasha, I know that you're really into sustainability. Can you just tell me a few tips or can you talk to me about this or what does that actually mean for your business? Just think open to that conversation. That's what I've really noticed. Yeah.
Okay. So what can we expect from you and Sasha B? What can we expect in the future? What are you planning on and what are you working on at the moment?
So what I'm trying to do is I gave you a little spoiler that I'm doing makeup wipes and reusable face pads. I've got so many old t-shirts and I'm chopping them up and making them into face pads at the moment. I have a whole list of new products that I want to bring out. Right now, to be completely honest, I'm job hunting. I really want to find a job where I can get a salary and a little bit more kind of reliability. I'm definitely going to be keeping Sasha B on the side. However, I do have new exciting things in the pipeline. I'm also going to be doing a certain type of artwork called encaustic art. You can have a little Google of it. It's to do with wax and it's really cool. Have a little Google. But for now, I'm just going to be keeping it on the side and focusing on making sure that I have a bit more stability in my life now that I've graduated, because everything is very daunting in the real world.
Oh, we feel you.
We are on the same page with you and we can relate so hard to what you're going through right now. Yeah. Did you just graduate then?
Yeah, so I graduated we had a online graduation in July.
Yeah, we're graduating this year as well. I mean, we are dealing with the need for stability as well, and we want to continue doing something good, but then at the same time,
this is the most unstable year of our lives. Yeah. COVID and everything. And yeah, I think speaking of COVID, I think this time has really shown that people want to go back to simpler times. A lot of people have been more interested in the concept of sustainability and doing things themselves. Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, a lot of people are trying to get back in touch with their creative sides or in touch with their community as well, and just trying things out because everything is so unpredictable right now. So just giving different things a go and seeing what you enjoy. And I know so many friends who had all these life plans sorted out and now everything's just up in the air. It's so difficult right now as the creative industry is. I've seen so many Instagram posts around being like, oh, I haven't read a book, I haven't watched a film, I haven't done any of this during lockdown. Oh wait, I have. Arts is really important. Creativeness is really important. It's so intrinsic to society. We need that, especially in a developed society. We really, really need that creative outlet. And I really hope that over the next bit that the government starts being aware that actually the arts needs to thrive. That is part that's so crucial to society. It's so much a part of who we are and what we do. We need to keep this going. So I really hope that there's a push now towards saving the creative industries at the moment. But I think that small businesses are. They're honestly doing so well, and a massive round of applause to every small business out there that's been going through COVID. It is so, so difficult. It's so hard to keep going and having that motivation when everything's so unstable. But yeah, I think everyone's doing an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great that I've seen a lot of initiatives from sustainable brands and just a lot of people from the creative industry to just support one another, knowing that actually, yeah, at this time we're being pushed to the edge, really.
Yeah.
And I think we've taken it into our own hands to try to support one another, and it's been great. And I think it's important for consumers as well to just start looking at those initiatives and searching about it, learning about it, and just support your local community.
Being a more mindful consumer. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. I think people are becoming more aware. And I think our generation is fantastic at that. And people are watching more programs on sustainability. I've seen so many stuff out on Netflix recently about sustainability. Yeah. I don't know if that's just all the things tracking what I like, but I've noticed so much recently. And I think that's so amazing, just bringing sustainability to your everyday consumer who's maybe not so aware.
I think that's so true. And I just want to applaud you for what you're doing at Sasha B. I think it's such an amazing, fun aesthetic. And it's so nice connecting with other creatives out there that are marching to the beat of their own drum and trying to do something that helps the planet. I think that's it for our questions on our end. I don't know if there's anything you want to add or...
No, that's honestly, you guys have covered so much and I've absolutely loved doing this. It's been so much fun just having a chat with like-minded people. It's really nice. It's really nice to connect during this time where connections are difficult. So I really appreciated this. I think it's been fantastic.
Well, we really appreciate your time as well. It's been so nice because we've also just started out. So I think it's nice to hear your positivity and your enthusiasm.
Yeah. Aww. Wishing you the best of luck, and I hope you are staying healthy and safe. Let's keep in touch. I'm so excited to see what you do next.